This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the board, working it the way that he do. The Secretary of Mulch, as I heard this morning on the morning show. Love that. Love that for you, by the way. Secretary of Mulch.
I have entered the cabinet.
Yes.
Oh, the bullpen.
The bullpen cabinet, a Secretary of Mulch. And I got to say, I love what the bullpen does day in and day out.
I have a lot of fun.
And I wish that I had a show interacting with them.
It's a lot of fun. Quite 6 frankly. To 10 in the mornings with Jeremy and Joe, 3 to 7 with Shope and the Bulldog. I think it's predominantly on – we're on Twitch and YouTube.
Yes.
It's predominantly on YouTube.
Yes.
It's just a lot of fun. It's – we were talking about it. It's a lot like the text board, but like everyone else can talk to each other.
But this is what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Like we broke social media, except for that.
Except for that.
As a society, we've broken most of social media except for that. Stream chats are the way to go.
Yeah.
And but
although I'll have to start worrying about my appearance more, and I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we got into radio so that we didn't have to worry
I
about
I wear
that.
Hats a lot.
Yeah.
I sometimes take a little while to shave.
I'm wearing a Purdue hockey jersey right now.
I love that, though.
It is drip personified, though.
I love that.
I do love this thing. But of course, this is the day I pick a hockey jersey out, and people are walking around in the studio. I don't know what's going on. There's some random tours happening.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like the Christmas party when, like, Mike and Chris are working the last hour of their show.
Yep.
And people are, like, they're being given tours. And I feel like a zoo exhibit animal.
Yeah. A part of me kind of likes it, though. Like, I do the nightcap, like, during it, and, like, just having people, like, watch me as I'm talking to myself.
Yeah,
I don't know. Part of me's like, okay.
In years past, that's absolutely what I did with the party.
Like, all right.
But today, on March 26th, in the morning, people are being given a little bit of a tour, and I'm just like, should I just, like, make an animal noise or something? Like,
just stare people in the
eye. What does the fox say?
Oh, no, we're not doing that again.
It says that, actually.
We're never doing
it's
that
It's chirping
again.
Like a bird.
I feel like that wouldn't be good, though, for the company where, like, everyone's like, yeah, like, there's this weird guy. He just, like, just made an animal noise. It looked me right in the eyes. Like, I don't know what that's about. It's probably not good. That's where we get an email from, like, HR, and they're like, guys, we got to have a meeting. And you're like, damn, foiled again. The animal noise got me again.
Stop making animal noises at the people that we're bringing in for tours. You're freaking them out.
It's a lot of one of those things where it's like, don't climb this. You're like, all right, so somebody definitely climbed that, and that's why this is there.
I'm probably
company-wide email, don't make animal noises. Okay, well, somebody made animal noises. Got it. Thanks. Yep. Thanks for giving company secrets.
Don't drop coffee on lap. I'm that guy.
Don't be the reason we have a safety breathing.
Bingo.
Oh, I failed that so many times. Josh. I used to work in retail. Oh, my God. There was one place in particular, Schmoffice Depot, I had four incident reports.
How?
Oh. I fell off like one of those like walking ladders, like the stair ladders.
Yeah.
I tried reaching behind for something, and everyone else just heard plastic tubs crashing.
That's not ideal. That's not ideal.
I had one on my third day working there.
Dude.
I tripped over a pallet. How do I trip over a pallet? By carrying so much paper that I could not see where
it
was.
That'll do it.
And then effectively I got hip checked.
My goodness.
Yeah, I am the danger.
Ugh. 803-0550, the number two call. We're talking a lot of Diggs in the first hour, kind of his, I guess mainly how his exit should be sort of perceived by Bills fans, where he is now, especially him going to an AFC East rival in the Patriots, a three-year, $69 million contract, $26 million of that is guaranteed. We also, though, right there at the end of the first hour, talking about the NFL draft, and I know this has been a topic throughout the week, and I think last week, I was off last week, but I know it's been a topic for a few years, the idea of the Bills trading up, even a massive trade up to go get a player. I've mentioned it a lot. I am probably more on the Mike Schoep train of thinking, which is you probably should never trade up. I'm willing to do small ones here and there. Go get the player that you want rather than a player that falls to you. If that player that you want happens to fall to you, perfect. Not everyone has to trade up or down. There's people that stay at their position and are fine. And the Bills do have 10 picks this year. And they're a talented roster, albeit a lot of needs on defense, but they likely won't be adding 10 rookies to their roster. That
10 is a lot for a team that was just in an AFC championship.
Yes. Yeah. Is it impossible? No. Just
unlikely.
I would say unlikely, yeah. Now, on that point, I've mentioned kind of my desire. I know it's a deep defensive tackle class. I love the idea, though, of a small trade-up, maybe to 25, you know, what have you. Not a huge trade-up, but enough to where, okay, you can go get a guy like a Kenneth Grant. Going from 30, where you're picking now, Houston at 25, they have to sort of rebuild their offensive line. I know another team that is really big in terms of, I've seen a lot of people talk about, you know, a trade-up candidate, or, well, trade-down candidate for them, Minnesota. I think they have like four draft picks this year. You mentioned a lot with Tennessee. Now, they're all the way up, but they might be a team, if it weren't for Cam Ward, they trade down because they desperately need draft capital. Minnesota, sort of the same thing. But it could be for a number of different positions. You mentioned you're a huge Nick Emmanuori fan, the safety out of South Carolina.
That has become my guy.
Yep. I've also mentioned, too, while I don't love the idea of cornerback, if Jahdae Barron out of Texas is available at 24, he's a player. If they got, I'd be thrilled.
You can move up with the bevy of fifth and sixth rounders you have.
Yeah. Now, realistically, you know where I think the trade actually comes? Because I think they're trading up somewhere.
Right.
I think it's probably in the second round to go get a guy who maybe they had a higher second-round grade on or a late first-round grade on
because
that happens to be there, and they're like, go get him.
Because their picks are in 56 and 62. That's late in the second round, both of them.
Yep.
Because Minnesota apparently decided to want to do us no favors and be good for some reason.
I will never forget us having the conversation with Sal while he's at the Combine last
year. Never forgive them for this.
Was it the Combine or maybe the owners' meetings last year, but him even going like, look at Minnesota. Like, they could be terrible. And it was not like any of us thought he was wrong. I think most of us agreed. Yeah, they could be terrible.
They were setting
up. Sam Darnold's their quarterback.
They were setting up to be not good.
Not good. And all they do is win 14 games.
Casually, Sam Darnold just walks in and wins 14 games with the Minnesota Vikings. Jets fans are up in arms like, where was that?
I think what was like October 1st, we're all like, cool, so Vikings are going to be great. That second round pick's going
to
be effectively
a third. But then you see that he's throwing to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. All the sins. All the sons. Heck, I'm going to get on a tangent. So, moving up in the second round, absolutely. But what does Buffalo love to do?
also, they love getting themselves back into the third round.
Yeah, they do.
Love doing
They've
that.
Not made a lot of fourth round picks in the Brandon Bean McDermott era.
And which is weird because they've crushed those.
Mm-hmm.
Sal put out a spreadsheet of all the picks that they've made by round and like ranking them. And you look at the fourth round and go, wait, is Ray Davis really the one that's
the low point?
The low point of the fourth round? Like, yeah, Gabe Davis didn't get a second contract, but like.
Did with somebody else, though. He did with somebody else.
Taron Johnson, also a fourth
round. Taron Johnson, yep.
Yeah. So, like, they don't make a lot of fourth round picks, and I look at his track record and go, why?
That round's pretty good for you. Because ultimately, like, the Gabe Davis,
because that's where
priced
you
out.
Like, that's where your day two guys start falling,
mm-hmm.
And they're in the fourth round. Like, go get them.
You did make a mention, though, of the third round, too. They've been fantastic there.
They love the third round, and they typically kill it.
Sal ranked it. Spencer Brown, Terrell Bernard, Harrison Phillips. Another guy didn't get a second contract with you. I think he's still on Minnesota.
He also priced him. Like, he was priced out.
He priced himself out. Dawson Knox did get a second contract with the Bills. Arguably kind of was good enough where some people were questioning why exactly they took a tight end like Dalton Kincaid at the time.
It was because of Kenneth.
Yes. Singletary. Good, not great running back.
For a third round pick.
But solid for a third round pick. Also, what if he has the offensive line the Bills have now? The last 2 years where James Cook's been able to have a very good success.
I mean, his physical traits have a
right
solid ceiling.
Probably not great, but maybe good enough to where you're like, hey, no issues with him at all.
Yep.
Zero issues. Then Dorian Williams, he had people questioning how valuable Matt Milano was, I think egregiously, but he's been very good for them, especially as a depth
linebacker.
Didn't
he finish leading the team in tackles even though he got like no starting reps at the end of the year?
I believe he did. Zach Moss, who is an NFL running back. He had a few good games with Indianapolis.
You can do a hell of a lot worse than that on your third round.
Yep. And then Dwayne Carter, only because he was a rookie last year and got hurt for a majority of the second half of last year.
Yes.
They've been very, very good in the third round.
Yes.
And I think it's a good point to bring up of like maybe that also could be something. Do they trade back in this year's second round, get back in the third round, maybe get a pick for next year?
Maybe
something
add,
like that.
Or maybe add a fourth.
Add a fourth.
You do good with fourths.
Do Come good on. With fourths.
Come on, man. Come on. Fall back into the third round. You get a fourth in return.
Their worst round is the first round, though.
And that is,
I think, like objectively, their worst round is the first.
It's also the one where the highest expectations are to be paid.
Yeah.
You think about it. Like we were mentioning, like how well that third round is there.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to say those are first round picks, what's the stigma at that point?
Oh, they get starters everywhere.
And the thing is that if we look at the third round track record, Devin Singletary is an unforgivable selection.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a first rounder.
Do I want to say the first round is their worst?
But that's the thing is that.
No.
Expectation and stakes have something to do with it.
I'm going to go second round, by the way. I'm changing my thoughts. Second round is their worst.
Yes, because like as bad as Kyer Elam ended his tenure as a Bill, he was playable every now and then.
Cody Ford and Boogie Basham straight up weren't.
Cody Ford and Boogie Basham were off the team before their contracts expired.
Yeah.
And the second round is supposed to be just as heavy.
Mm-hmm. Man, I mean, if they can improve this year, and I think that's maybe the most fun thing about this year's draft. If you're a Bills fan, fun, depending on your word for fun.
Draft's always fun for me, baby.
I love it. I mean, I'm a junkie, you know that.
Yes,
but you have three picks in the first two rounds. On a
that's
team,
where the fun begins.
Yeah, and on a team, an organization that you know you can question how well they've done in the first two rounds the last few years, but now very quickly. Especially, you have a lot of needs on defense, and this seems to be a very good defensive draft class. Very quickly change that perception. Or you can just solidify it and have a lot of people, I think including myself, kind of questioning what the future is with Brandon Bean as the general manager. Not necessarily saying fire him, but you do have to start maybe questioning, like, okay.
How good are you really at
this? Like, where are we at in terms of this first, second round thing? Like those need to be day one starters, even on great teams.
Yes.
And you're not doing it. And again, I'm not saying necessarily fire them, but you do have to start kind of looking at it going, okay, where's the disconnect? Because like we've just mentioned, third and fourth round.
Slappers only.
Dude, you're getting starters everywhere. Spencer Brown's one of the better right tackles in the NFL. Boom. Dorian Williams, a great depth linebacker. Boom.
Yeah, when it comes to depth picks, it's a game of 007. Slappers only.
But rounds one and two, it kind of has gotten to a point where
that hit rate is worse.
It's tough. I mean, Osiris Torrance, I've mentioned him. I would have taken him in the first round of that draft class, by the way, too. So getting him in the second, I thought was wonderful. He's been a day one starter at right guard.
And you need more of that.
Mm-hmm. But AJ Epenesa, I mean, even the day he was drafted, it was kind of like a low ceiling, maybe even low floor. I don't really know what's going to – I mean, effectively to take a redshirt year to kind of get up to weight.
Yep.
And then since then, he's kind of been like a solid, great piece.
It's been fine.
James Cook, running back, it's kind of always tough to judge them because you don't really always want to give them second contracts. At least it seems to appear still that way.
Yes, and also last year was, I don't want to call it an anomaly, but an obscurely high amount of touchdowns.
Yes. Where you can almost sort of expect, like, that's going to dip, right?
Yeah, it has to.
Like, he's not going to hit, what, 16 again? 18 total?
Considering the year prior, was it
two?
Two.
Yeah. Probably more around eight.
Yeah.
Which is still a great year. But when you just barely get past 1,000 yards rushing on a team that runs the ball more.
Yeah.
It's not great. Keon Coleman, who is sort of a lightning rod topic for a lot of Bills fans.
It's year one. Can we calm down on that, people?
But even looking at year one, he had some flashes. I've mentioned a lot the Seattle game and how that was sort of eye-opening of like, oh.
He makes extraordinary look ordinary, but then he makes the ordinary look hard.
And he didn't have a great jump ball rate.
Yes.
So even though he had some pop plays, it still wasn't like a horribly efficient play.
It wasn't a guarantee.
Yeah, where when he was drafted.
There were plays that he made on those jump balls sometimes where it was like, okay, that's badass.
But
you dropped a slant pass and it was intercepted and taken the other way.
Yep. Then you go to Cole Bishop, who, whether it's fair to him or not, he needs to be a starting safety this year for the Bills. The entire year outside of injury. And he needs to show that, okay, that's done. We'll worry about a second contract here in the next few years.
Yes.
Whether that's fair to him or not, he was a second-round pick at safety. That needs to happen.
You need hit rates.
Because
you don't want another Cody Ford or Boogie Basham pick.
Bingo. First round, still going there. Ed Oliver, it's tough. But for him, you need a space heater to get the most out of him.
You need a compliment to him.
Yep.
Yes.
And then Greg Rousseau, I think, is good, a bit underrated. It's just a shame his worst game maybe of his Bills career was the last game of this year.
Yeah.
He was a terrible edge setter and run defender in the AFC Championship, which is strange because that's typically the best thing he is at.
It's actually the strongest asset of his game, and he had the worst time doing it.
Dalton Kincaid, I simply don't know where to go with him. I really don't. I think there is a disconnect between him and Allen in terms of where his routes need to end, where he needs to be when the ball is thrown.
I also just don't think Allen utilizes his tight ends as much as Ken Dorsey wanted him to.
And maybe even Joe Brady wants him to.
Yeah.
Also, man, can you make a convincing catch? There's been way too many times either he's dropped it or it's just like a...
And consider the last time we saw him. It is a catchable ball.
That it goes right through his hands.
Right through.
Right, well, kind of hits his chest, goes right through. And then Elam, who we were all pumped they traded a first-round pick and got anything.
Yes.
I mean, that's not good.
It's you need more spectacular hit rates from your round one and round two picks.
Mm-hmm.
Because you haven't had a spectacular one since in the first round for a long time.
Since your first one.
Yes. Since your first one. Even the one that was right after that did not get a second contract with you. Got overpaid by Chicago.
But now Bears fans will tell you the exact same thing Bills fans were telling you when he went there, which is he's good, not great. He's more frustrating than...
He's never going to make you a play.
Yeah.
He'll do enough for you to survive, but he's never going to make you a play.
Yeah.
The fact that a third-round linebacker immediately goes ahead and transcends that whole lack of causing turnovers issue should tell you something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 803-0550. Thoughts on this year's draft, what the Bills need to do, what you'd like to see them do. We'll start this segment here with Kevin on the line. Kevin, how are we doing today?
Good, how are you?
Doing very well.
We could skip Kevin,
I wanted
by
to
way.
Talk about James. I wanted to talk about James Cook just for a second. What's up, Derek? I know he's asking for $15 million. If the Bills are not forthcoming in paying the $15 million, do you think perhaps they could consider moving him around and possibly even considering trading up in the draft? I mean, I don't know if they're going to pay $15 million, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on being if they won't even entertain that idea.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for the call.
Kevin, I'll call you later.
I actually don't know how much the Bills will be into paying him, because look, we've already kind of seen there is somewhat of a different feeling around running backs. Running backs are starting to get bigger contracts again, so maybe there is sort of this shift that we saw a few years ago. But can the Bills afford it? And really, as I brought up, he barely got over 1,000 yards on a team that ran the ball a lot. And he had to do it in the last game of the year when they didn't really have to play for anything. Is 1,000 yards everything? No. But in an era where Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley,
getting
paid that money, that's not great. In terms of trading him, I think this is the worst year to do it. Purely for the fact of, look at the draft class, and we talk about defensive tackle being deep. This running back class is beloved by every draft expert I've seen. Now, Genty's the top guy, and then it's like 10 to 15 guys that they're like NFL running backs.
Now, ready? What if I were to say you could get that for... What if I got a day two pick out of James Cook instead of a trade up? More or less, like, you're hitting the reset button on the running back room, and you're going to use one of these picks in day two to do that.
I think you're taking advantage of a bad team who is desperate to put bums in seats. You know, using the shores.
That's more or less what I would want to do in that sense.
But there's so many guys available. Rather than be, as I mentioned, Genty at the top, he's gone in round one. Hampton out of North Carolina, the Ohio State guys, Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee, Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. There's so many guys that it will just be like, do I want to go the cheap route, especially a day two guy where it's going to be a much cheaper contract, or get James Cook on a quote-unquote, you know, depreciating asset, because running backs are more than almost
always
any position.
Always a depreciating asset.
Yeah, they're the most like buying a new car. The moment you drive it off the lot, the value completely
cuts in half.
I'm going to get him at 26, 25, and then probably have to immediately pay him. And all of a sudden now I'm sitting there going, cool, I'm not even getting the cheapest years of him. I may not be getting the best years out of him.
And considering that 30 is typically a hard cap for running backs.
Yeah. Unless you're Derrick Henry, which you should not be comparing any running back you have to Derrick Henry.
I believe to this day, and will continue to until the end of my days, that Derrick Henry was constructed in a laboratory.
Probably. And Tennessee kind of botched how they used him for like the first year, by the way.
Yes.
Never forget that.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
So yeah, he was 25 this year. Now, ultimately, he had less attempts this year than last year in terms of rushing. He had just over 200. So I don't want to – again, I don't want to bash –
He was still efficient. The per carry is still very good.
I don't want to bash the 1,000 yards. Yeah, his yards per attempt were 4.9. That's very good. But again, his value is depreciating. You're going to get him now more expensive, and you're heading towards the end of his career. Now, I do think, though, the NFL's maybe leaning more towards, hey, the cap keeps going up. Maybe we can give running backs a second contract. But like you've mentioned and I've mentioned, $15 million, when it puts you in the ballpark of Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, not good. And I think that's maybe where the disconnect is. I also don't think he's necessarily going to get that money. We've seen all the time running backs go to the open market
humbled.
Le'Veon Bell is maybe the perfect example where he sat out an entire year because Pittsburgh wouldn't give him what he wanted. He goes to the Jets. It works for 15 minutes, and his career, gone. He's more of a rapper now than anything.
Oh, God. Is he, though?
And it's ultimately what happened. I mean, it happens all the time. Again, Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley might just be the outliers. Saquon Barkley, when he was coming out of Penn State, was considered that anyways as one of the best running back prospects we'd seen since, like, AP. Henry is 6'3", 240 pounds, and runs like 4'4". That's horrifying.
And Derrick Henry did not reset the running back market in free agency.
That's right. Yep.
So that goes to show you just how valued they are in free agency. They're not.
Yeah. It's more just... Ultimately, offensive line means more, I think.
It does.
Honestly, it's the least sexy pick you can make in a draft, or the least sexy, you know, free agent sign you can make. But likely, it's probably one of the smartest you can make.
It's the most impactful.
The offensive line. Yeah.
Not even the smartest.
Look
it's
at the Bills
impactful.
The last few years. They keep adding guys, by the way. Like, they have their starting five pretty much locked down.
But they're never
done. They keep adding guys. They keep going in the late rounds, get a guy who is, you know, high potential, low floor. Let's see if we can work him. Aaron Cromer, what can you do? Cedric Van Pran Granger, the center out of Georgia.
Yes.
There were a lot of Bills fans at training camp going, if he's not the starting center by, you know, halfway through the year, this is malpractice. Weren't saying it by then, but there was feelings there of like, hey, and get him in.
More or less, they're saying that because what do you mean? I've got a guard shuffling into down to center.
Right, right.
Is that the best idea? And it turns out, yes, it was, actually. Thank you very much, Connor McGovern. Great job. But I'm not expecting Connor McGovern to be here in – I'm not expecting McGovern to be here in 3 years, though.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make future investments. You keep making future investments. As a matter of fact, you keep drafting it so that you have depth. Spencer Brown misses the KC game in the regular season. Bills are just fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That too. I mean, they've been healthy, but Spencer Brown being out and then being fine, or at least solid, gave you a lot of like...
It's confidence.
Confidence. Good feelings that like they're putting together a good unit. And that's where, for me...
If I need to deal with injury,
mm-hmm.
is my mega superstar investment getting injured because I lost my left tackle for a game?
Yeah.
Or I lost my right guard? Is there a major problem here? And the answer is... Absolutely not. Keep throwing picks at the big boys. Let people like me represent.
The other side of the beef wagon.
Yes.
The other side of the beef wagon.
Beef is beef, baby.
But that's the thing is, so I'm okay if they take a running back next year in the third round or if they want to this year in like the fourth. And all of a sudden then you're looking at going, we have Ray Davis and this young guy and a year left of James Cook. I'm fine with that. I think the Bills have proven they kind of they have figured out how to work that running back offensive line room really, really well. 803-0550, the number two call. We got a number of people on hold. We'll get to you guys after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Josh Schmidt hanging out with you here today. And, of course, our show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whenever you're looking for it, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I've been doing so good all day.
Hey,
all day.
Do you know that it's the 10th anniversary of the Sabres versus Coyotes, that game?
Why don't you enlighten everybody on that game?
I don't need to enlighten many people on this, though it is something important for this station and the ramifications afterwards. But obviously 10 years ago, the tank season, we had fans straight up cheering that this team should lose games. We had champions of this station itself asking this team to lose in any way possible, try to land themselves Connor McDavid. And it comes to a head on this night in 2015. An overtime loss to the Arizona Coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
And fans audibly cheering that goal. I don't necessarily believe in the karmic retribution of things. But if it exists, can we stop and let it go?
Can we
let it die now? It's been 10 years. I think we've been through enough.
Did other teams cheer for losses that year? I feel like Edmonton did.
Not as loudly.
No, yeah. I think
it was very shameless in a sense.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Do what you want to do. I wasn't a fan of it, personally.
No, and I think it's looked worse as the team has not gotten any better.
Correct. It's looked worse because for 10 more years they have been effectively no closer to getting through anything of a long-term build. That said, I mean, it happened. It's not something that, like, it's not shameful in a sense. Like, yeah, it was a little obnoxious. A lot of people saying the quiet part out loud kind of thing. It's like if you wink at somebody, you go, wink.
Yeah.
But it's just one of these things where, like, I don't know necessarily if it needs to, like, yeah, I guess that 10 years ago, it's a big deal, you know, it's a 10-year anniversary of something.
But if you're a certain fan, which I think those fans have actually grown too as the 10 years have gone on, that was a dark day for Sabres fandom.
And I would agree with it. It's just, at the same point, I also knew that they were going to lose anyway, so why did I bother?
Right.
Like, I accepted that, yeah, no, this team is built to be bad.
And they are shameless about it. They continue and to do things to stay bad.
Yeah, and the team was shameless about it. I don't need to match that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you think that played into it?
No.
I was going to say, like, looking back, not necessarily trying to, like, change history.
I understood what Jeremy was trying to say about that and why the tank necessarily was created.
Mm-hmm.
It's that the team did it first. To which, that's the point where I will always hold Tim Murray in some form of, like, contempt, is I hate that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it has to do with how he threw his attitude into it.
Yeah.
Of openly being mad when you didn't win the draft lottery, for example. Being overly brazen. There's no coincidence that he's never worked in hockey since then.
Which is... It feels par for the course for like any Sabres management person the last few years.
Bottrell's an AGM in Seattle.
Yep.
It's a legitimate argument. Bottrell was worse here as a general manager. Murray, it is because he was so loud about tanking. It is an unforgivable sin in sport. Like, we say what we want. We're not part of the actual team and organization itself. Tim Murray has never worked in hockey yet.
Yeah, because he said the quiet part out loud and loudly.
Yes. He said the quiet part too loudly.
Mm-hmm.
What we say here is one thing. It's an entertainment business. In the sense of, hey, we're here to just try to make things feel better. This team's going to be awful. Why not just have fun with it?
Yeah, let's get excited for the generational prospect that is coming down the pipe. Oh, and you can watch him in Erie all year if you want to.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, we'll have him in Buffalo, too.
For the combine, right?
No, for a game.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
They hosted him for an Erie Otters game.
That's right.
Again, shameless. It's one thing for media to do that. It's one thing for a radio station to do that. It's another one the team did it.
Yep.
And that's why we've never seen Tim Murray in the light of day ever again. No, it's also because of his drafting. It was poop.
Yes. Sabres did get a nice win, though, last night, 3-2 in Dylan Cousins' return to Buffalo. Did get an assist, though, on one of the goals. I believe it was the opening goal.
Yep.
Sabres, though, did obviously get the 3-2 win. Thompson, Bernard Docker, and Jack Quinn with the goals.
No big deal. Just point per game, JBD.
Two assists.
One
over the
big
weekend?
NBD for me.
Won the trade?
Won the trade.
Now Josh North's still hurt. I have no idea what's going on there.
It's tough, but I'm glad that he's at least trying to fight. Not fight through it necessarily, but like he wants to return by the end of season.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to shut it down, and that's good
because
that means like it's not as terrible maybe.
Right.
I don't know. I'm being an optimist.
803-0550, the number to call. We were talking a lot on the Bills today, especially talking about Stephon Diggs going to New England and what that means. Also, James Cook. Obviously, always a fun topic. Do you maybe trade him at the draft? I don't think it's all that likely. We did take a call in the last segment, and we'll continue to do that here as Denny is next up. Denny, how are we doing today?
Doing well. Just quick on the Sabres before I talk about Cook. If you believe in a Jack Eichel curse, just think about how the fact that we finally got two first overall draft picks and they ended up being defensemen. I don't think there's ever been a team that got stuck like that. But when it comes to Cook, first I want to say he's great. He's not elite. He is a product of his own environment. When you think about, you know, when you're within the 20-yard line, Cook is secondary to the defenses. Everybody's paying attention to Josh. He, like you mentioned, his offensive line has been together pretty much his whole career, and they've been healthy. You know, so they help push down the field so he gets the extra yardage. So while I do think that he's worth it, you know, there's only a couple, or not worth it, he's a great guy, but there's only a couple of running backs, like you mentioned, that make more money than him, and, you know, Henry makes less. So at 15 mil, I just don't think it's worth it. Our number one running back is Josh. You know, Ray Davis is going to be able to fill that role as well. So I think there's a lot of running backs that will be able to step in and, you know, take that role.
Yeah, Denny, thanks for the call. And I like that, too. He is sort of like maybe a victim of his environment, too, because like Denny brought up there, like Allen's the main threat. Within the 20s, like that's the guy you're watching.
Yes.
Now, Cook had amazing plays, and I will go to my grave with this. If the Bills win the AFC Championship, that James Cook touchdown, he's already been paid.
He already has the contract.
I fully believe everyone's already been paid, 100%. and they're just like, it's Super Bowl tax. Win or lose the game, it doesn't matter. You got there for the first time since the early 90s with this group, with how good the vibes were. They're not touching it. Yep. They are not breaking that up. Everyone gets exactly what they want, or at least close to it, to at least, you know, fit it into the system, you know, with somewhat being smart. I don't even think we're having discussions. That was going to be one of the plays of the last 25
immortalized
years
as
of Bills fandom.
Effectively, Space Jam stretches his arm out and gets it to the goal line.
That was going to be one of the plays, and it probably, I think, for a lot of us still will end up being that. Is that's a play you talk about to your grandkids of, like, where were you when that happened, when James Cook has to lunge forward, arm on the ground, not his elbows not touching
on
the ground.
On fourth down.
On fourth down as he reaches into the end zone. That's a generational play where, yeah, you remember that. So I and maybe that's the shame of it. That's the horrible kind of irony of it all. That he has this unbelievable play that should go down in Bill's lore. He doesn't, and now this may be his last year on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is crazy to think about that. I will say, though, with Ray Davis, had a solid rookie year. I wonder how much that Jets game, the one Cook misses, has really done a lot of favors for Ray Davis in terms of Bills fans' idea of him. I do think he is part of their future plans, don't get me wrong. But his yards per carry was under 4. And he really only has the one great game. You could argue 2. San Francisco is a good game for him as well. But it's the Jets game. 20 carries, 97 yards. He also has 3 catches for 55 yards. I mean, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
Like, it popped off out of nowhere. And this is also coming off of James Cook being a fantasy darling for the first month or so of the season. I mean, the Miami game, they effectively don't need to do anything except give James Cook the ball. He has 3 touchdowns in the first half.
Which was like the second time in less than a calendar year where you're just like, here, give the ball to James Cook.
Yeah, just let him. Yeah, let him go do it. Josh can just hang out. Dallas. I wonder how much that game has sort of set the precedent of like, they'll be fine. They've got this dude ready to go. He's a little bit older. Maybe that makes it healthier for you not to like have to really, you know, kind of mentally, you know, wrestle yourself in terms of like, do we pay him? Do we not? He'll be like 28 when his second contract comes up. That kind of tells you don't.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it that much, but he really only has 2 kind of big games. San Francisco being the other one in the snow, 11 carries, 63 yards and a touchdown. But to me, it was really that Jets game where it was like, oh, who is this guy? He's a stud. We've got 2 running backs who are ones. Maybe that's not totally true, but that was the feeling leaving that Jets game. Was like, we are fine.
Right.
We couldn't be more than fine. We've got a guy that's making big plays everywhere.
If Allen is not there to carry everything for the day, we've got James Cook.
Right. Let's go back to the line. Dan is next up. Dan, you're on WGR.
All right, guys. I'm going to use your own ammo. I'm going to act like I'm related to Cook or his agent.
There we go.
So right, obviously McDermott has loved running backs, right? He was known. He came here with a 3-yard and a cloud of dust. We've always gotten a running back. I don't like this narrative that we can fill in anyone because no one has done what he did. And he's really only played 2 years because McDermott didn't really use him the first year. He plays in a 3 rotation, right? So 44% of the snaps leads the league in touchdowns. Now, you want to use Saquon and Henry, right? At low-hanging fruit, he doesn't compare. 7 running backs cast it off from last year. 7. So that's not like, you know, an anomaly or like a quinky dink. They all made the playoffs. Every like that mm-hmm. year 30 mm-hmm. where they go downhill, all 7 made the playoffs. And now everyone, the defenses go against the pass. Well, now the defense is a little more susceptible. And he's gotten better every year. And so every single year. So he's got no miles because he plays 44% of the snaps. He could do the 30, 40 yard runs. And then, but he's kind of small. Then, like you said, he's got that iconic run. And do we really want to hand off those touchdowns? Because I agree, he's not going to get 18. But 18, how Saquon, he's not getting 1 yard runs, Cook. And do we want Josh really at 3rd and 5 just willing the ball? Because he will. If no one else can do it, Josh will do it. Do we really want him getting touchdowns in the middle of, you know, the AFC East schedule against the Jets in Miami? Because we don't want to lose. Cook is just, he's always gotten better. And he's not, he doesn't say 15. That's what people say in negotiating. So the Bills will say 10. So it's going to be 13. Is he not better than Gabe Davis? Is he not more worth than Palmer? He's got more touchdowns in 1 year than Gabe Davis has in his whole life. Gabe's done nothing since he went to Jacksonville. You know, so we like to develop. That's what Bean says, right? We draft, develop, and then resign. But he also knows to get rid of Edmonds. But Edmonds did have 2 Pro Bowls before 24. But we didn't keep him. I get it. But Cook is just – he's not as easy to replace as you make it seem out to be. He's just not. It's not that simple. A lot of teams have good lines, and they don't get 18 touchdowns out of a guy with 44% of the snaps. So he's got no wear and tear. And the money, 3 years, $39 million, you give him, what, 25 and guaranteed? Is that not worth more than Gabe Davis from 2 years ago? I don't know. I don't think it's that simple. We'll just get a fourth rounder and plug him in. And yeah. I love Ray Davis.
Yeah, Dan, I like your point. Thanks for the call.
What he said to end that was, it's not that simple. You're absolutely right.
100%. I think that's right. And yeah, they could draft a complete bust who can't read a hole to save. Like, Trent Richardson was a top five pick. Dude couldn't
Trent
read.
Trent Richardson was fourth overall. And then also another team traded a first rounder to acquire him.
But to your point, you're bringing up 44% of the snaps as a good thing, right? No wear and tear. That's absolutely a positive thing. I look at that as more the Bills don't totally trust him to be a mainstay of their offense.
I will say it.
What's his pass blocking?
I will say.
Why is he always off? If he's this good that we're going to pay him $13 million a year, he needs to be on the field way more. Way more.
And I would say it more of, if he's playing 44% of the snaps, why should I give him $15 million? The price is right. Get James Cook back in here. Absolutely, 1,000%. I want to make sure I say that.
And I'm glad Dan did bring up the point, too. The 15 is just the starting price.
You want to
it's
try
the
to
number
start
that high. We hear.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's the start of the
we
negotiation.
We don't know what the Bills are trying
down.
To offer in any negotiations.
Right,
those
right.
are closed doors. So I think it'll be fine.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Rob, we'll try to get you here after a quick timeout, though it's going to have to be pretty darn quick. This is WGR. Here we wrap up a Wednesday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, been hanging out with you here for the last 2 hours. Real quick, I want to mention this story that broke about an hour ago or so. The Players Era Festival, it's an in-season college basketball tournament that debuted this year in Las Vegas. It's an NIL-based tournament that, you know, the winner
yes.
gets NIL money. Next year, it's going to go from 8 teams to, I believe, 18 is the expected for next year. 2026, though, it's expected to expand to 32 teams, thus making it the biggest non-NCAA tournament tournament for the season. I don't
yes.
love it. As a college basketball junkie, this probably means stuff like the Maui Invitational is gone because the best teams will go to these. However, with it potentially in 2 years expanding to 32 teams, I do look at programs like St. Bonaventure, who made a big addition yesterday, and Frank Mitchell, former Canisius player, went to Minnesota this year. Numbers weren't great, but he clearly could play in the Big Ten. Now he's probably going to dominate in the A-10. And the connections they have with Wojnarowski, I do look at those programs potentially getting invited to this. Other power mid-majors who are coming yep. into a season looking good, getting there. If they make a little bit of a run, do they maybe get $800,000, $900,000, $1 million to all of a sudden help them either retain the roster or, if guys still leave, they can still, you know, graze the pastures and keep rebuilding their roster rather than completely being gutted. That's going to do it for me and Derek. Coming up next, Sabres Live, following the Sabres win yesterday. This is WGR.